Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I am Timothy Maurice, and today we will explore, as we always do, we'll look at human and brand behavior. We're going to unpack the entire conversation as it relates to the human side today. I'm really, really thrilled. I may not sound so thrilled, but I feel really good. So hang out with us today as we look at the dynamics, particularly around the human side. So whether you are religious or not, my guest today will inspire you to rethink how you experience the abundance of life on earth. Today, we're going to be exploring heaven, living your heaven on earth. In fact, our special guest is an author, doctor, designer. She is an extraordinary human being who's written a book about living heaven on earth. We're going to unpack that book today. And, you know, an MBA and believes you can live heaven on earth. Welcome back to Unbranded. And Dr. Boitumelo Petla, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Timothy.
It's really awesome to have you in studio. You know, today we're going to explore, and I'm going to challenge you a bit. I'm letting it out up front. I'm going to challenge you a bit because you believe that you can physically live heaven on earth and that we should not delay it to an afterlife. So we're going to talk a bit about that, but I want to just open up the show with what is heaven. And based on what I could pick up online in my Google research, heaven is often described as a higher place, the holiest place, the paradise, in contrast to hell or the underworld or the low places. So you're essentially arguing that we can live high instead of low. And universally or conditionally accessible by earthly beings according to various standards of divinity, goodness, piety, faith, or other virtues or right beliefs, or simply the will of God. Some believe in the possibility of a heaven on earth in a world or in a world to come. So I would argue many people around the world believe you can live. Most people believe you live heaven when you pass away. Your argument is, in your experience, in your lifetime, that you believe people should live heaven on earth. So I want to just put that out there. And as a medical doctor and a woman who has an MBA, who also has extraordinary experience in the creative field, as well as has a wonderful family and a wonderful mom, that you've experienced a lot of life and your perspective is extraordinarily valuable. So we're looking forward to this conversation today. But as we start, I'd like to know, where are you from?
Thank you, Timothy. Well, I'm basically from Skukuni. That is in Limpopo.
Limpopo, yes.
That's where I was born, then still moved to Lebohom, which is still in Skukuni, then recently in Pretoria.
Okay.
Over the past 15 years, actually.
Yeah, but you were born and bred in that area. Is very warm, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Or should I say hot?
Yeah, warm to hot.
So you grew up there, and a lot of your life was inspired by your grandfather.
Yes.
Okay. And your grandfather was very unique in the fact that long before BE, long before any sort of like opportunity to leverage, you know, the current sort of policies, as an African man, he was very successful in business.
Yes, he was.
During the height of apartheid, he was very, very successful. So this has had an extraordinary influence on you. Tell us, how many businesses did he have?
Well, he has established about 20, just over 20 businesses. And, well, he passed away in 2011 at the age of 91. Even at the time, still about 10 of the businesses are still operational.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And he started his businesses and was thriving during what year? Which years?
Well, I wouldn't know the exact years, but it was way before I was born, and I'm relatively young. So it was at a stage where, according to what we know now as apartheid and the conditions of apartheid, that it was quite difficult for a black man to even think of success in that way. But for some reason, he was able to pursue that despite the limitations.
So right in the 60s, in the 1960s, 70s.
50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
In the 80s.
Yes.
Okay. He was sort of the Richard Branson of that area.
You can say that.
Basically, yeah. And that area is called Jane First. And the businesses, some of the businesses still exist.
Yes.
And he had businesses that ranged from literally you know,
petrol stations, dry cleaners, bottle store, hyper store, what else? There's quite a few that I can't imagine. And some of the first that he achieved around the area, in this Kukuni area, to what we know, is the first dry cleaners, the first black men, so to say, to be able to rent out space for the bank, for a bank. The first restaurant, first double story, what we see now as ShopRite and Spaz, a first double story, superstore, and just to name a few.
Wow. Yeah. And so ultimately, his example inspired you as a young girl. You spent a lot of time with him.
I should say that mainly, especially the first 5 years of my life, I grew up with him. I was raised by them until I had to move and stay with my parents because then my dad got a job. After that, growing up, I would go there over holidays and would work in the stores because if you wanted some money, some extra money, you have to work.
You have to go
then
to work.
You earn it, then you get some money. So that's how I kind of got to relate to him. But I really started noticing his significance in my life when I was starting my own businesses. And I realized that, you know what, for what I'm trying to pursue, under the pressure, societal pressure and all of that, somebody had done all of that way back then when it seemed impossible.
Got it.
And he did that despite all the odds. So I figured out I have that in me. If he had it, I should probably have it.
Awesome. Wonderful. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Dr. Boitumelo Petla, who is an inspiring sort of medical doctor. She has an MBA. She's an author. She's pursued a design career, and she's the founder of a business called the Heaven on Earth Group, which we'll talk a bit more about a little later. You know, coming here, preparing yourself for the show, you know, what is one thing, as we explore this conversation, that people must know about you?
Wow. Well, I'm one person who has come to a place where I'm very comfortable with myself, comfortable with the way that I see life. I always try my best to live the life that is comfortable for me.
Okay.
Without trying to fit into people's idea of how I should be living my life, but with responsibility, of course. So the whole idea of heaven on earth for me is a real thing. It's something I pursue on a daily basis, always being conscious of the things I choose to do or not to do.
Okay.
To be at and not to be at. So that's me. Somebody just unique, who has found themselves and very comfortable with themselves. Okay. And would like other people to experience that.
Got it. And so your Heaven on Earth group is designed to help people experience that. But I want to go back a bit into your sort of medical background. So you are a medical doctor and your focus there, you have your own practice.
Yes.
Okay.
So now with my practice, what I'm doing, I decided to focus. I'm a general practitioner, but I decided to focus on women and child health. So I run a clinic, work by appointment, the focus being on women and child health, not excluding men though, but the primary, patient base is mostly women and children.
And children. Yes. Okay. And you decide to focus on them because you have a passion for development. Do you feel like they're a neglected population, or you just...
Not necessarily. It actually started because my husband is also a medical doctor. So we're working very close together, very close, close proximity. So I figured out that, he can kind of see the general patients. Then I decided, because of my interest in spending time with the kids and all of that, that I should do something that will allow me to be able to structure my time. Okay. Through appointments and choosing a market.
Okay.
So that's how it happened.
So you really didn't want to compete with him, basically?
No, I wanted him to be a man.
Got it.
And work harder.
Oh, wow. Awesome. So with your focus, you have noticed and you've picked up quite a bit of unique sort of threads in what humans are facing.
Yes.
I've noticed in some of your research that you believe that stress is causing up to 90-some% of the illnesses we face. Is stress keeping people from experiencing heaven on earth?
Yes, stress is but a portion of the whole challenge that we face as human beings, because stress basically, according to my analogy, is a process that starts by, you know, when we don't embrace change, and unfortunately or fortunately, change is a constant. But most of us have a problem adapting to change or even anticipating the change. And the minute you cannot adapt to that change, it causes stress in you, because you're trying to change something that cannot be changed. We're not talking about things that can be changed. We're talking about certain things that basically the best way for you to come out of that is to adapt to the change and see how you can kind of pack your bags up and take the lesson and move on.
In the second half of the show, we're going to focus on strategies on how to live heaven on earth. But before we go there, I want to talk a bit more about why you decide to pursue so many different interests. There are people out there who, you know, they work in a bank, but they also want to try to be a designer, or they want to pursue being a painter or some sort of creative field. Your sort of foray into various fields, such as getting your MBA, like for a lot of doctors, you know, that would be, you know, that's a major leap. Why did it matter to you that you should try to get an MBA?
Well, it wasn't my primary plan. Just like being a doctor, honestly speaking, it wasn't my plan that I wanted to be a doctor. I grew up in a family where my dad was always a present father, which I'm grateful for, despite, you know, the limitations that he had growing up. So I trusted him enough to kind of plan out my life, and I'm grateful for that. So even the medicine, he basically said, you know what, I think you'll be good to do medicine, and I happen to love it. I'm happy with that. Immediately after I was done with my community service, it was obvious for me that I'm going into medical practice. Probably also the you know, my entrepreneurial background counts a lot. So I knew I had to go into private because I wanted to be able to have that control of the outcome of my patient care. I wanted to be able to control the time that I get to spend with my family. I wanted to be able to have, you know, a direct, almost direct relation of work equals to pay out, so to say. So the MBA came at a stage where when I was trying to grow myself as a doctor in private practice and helping my husband with his own practice, that I realized I wanted to do something else. But I knew medical specializing wasn't for me. I had other interests, especially in business to be specific. I enjoy building up practices, setting it up, and, you know, checking on the performance, how to improve on service and patient care and all of that. So MBA was more something for me to pursue, but I'm also glad I did it, because for most of us as doctors, most of our content in conversations, we only know medicine. And I always got lost in conversations when you're meeting other people, and all you know mostly is kind of limited to medicine.
I see.
So it gave me another leverage in life, opened up my mind, and I'm glad I did that.
Got it.
Just gave me a good balance.
And the design world, like, you know, the idea of going from doctor to MBA to thinking about clothing. I mean, yeah. I've got another friend of mine who's a medical doctor who opened up a lingerie business at some stage. And there's social pressure. Did you ever feel that your friends and community around you were not taking you serious when you started to explore just the clothing and design world?
Yes, of course. And obviously, most people, we always tend to judge quickly. And assume we understand what people are going through, or decisions they make. And for me, the clothing thing, just like with all the other things that you mentioned, I was frustrated at some point. That's where my grandfather's life meant everything for me, because people questioned why I was doing totally different things from what I'm qualified to do, so to say. But looking at his life, I felt so empowered. He kind of gave me that affirmation and approval to embrace what is God given to me. Because, I mean, the clothing, I didn't necessarily go to a design school. The interior deco, I didn't necessarily go to interior deco school. I don't know what they call it. But it's something that I had in me. I was always that child who, I love balance, I love colors, I love creating something, just revamping anything and giving it a different feel. So his life kind of gave me that permission to say, discover whatever that is in you, because all that we need is always within us. Like, contrary to what we believe, that you have to go out and search for things, everything is really within us. And I got to embrace that and try to find a balance and see what it means for me. And I finally got it, and I'm quite comfortable.
So for those who are listening who are going, okay, well, you had a grandfather that was Richard Branson. My grandfather, I don't know my grandfather, and I don't really have examples. Do you believe they also can tap into this internal resource, or did you just kind of get lucky?
Everybody has that in them, because I believe we're all created with internal resources. But obviously, life gets to, you know, embrace us, and we need to embrace it, and life experiences themselves open pores that we never even knew existed. But there's nothing that you're going to create new. We usually do well when we do what we're born to do.
Okay.
So it's a matter of finding what is it in it for you. Usually something that you love doing, you are very good at it. Even if you're not paid for it, you'll still be able to do it, because it wakes you up at night, you think about it, and you want to improve on it. So everybody has that potential. They have it in them to create what is actually basically to express what is already within them through creation.
So I have to challenge you a bit. I mean, I'm really inspired by what you're saying. But on the flip side, for those who are listening who are just sort of like contrarian by nature, maybe they're just thinking, look, this woman did really well early in her life. Got a husband as a doctor. Maybe she's bored and she's now trying different things. She wants to design interiors. Before you know it, she's going to be doing braids, hair, stuff. is that, or do you just genuinely, are you exploring the world? Because that's okay as well.
Yes.
Or is these things you have naturally in you? You feel like you naturally have the ability to design. Like, if I come to your house, your interior must look amazing, because if you have this thing in you.
It is.
Is it? Okay.
It is.
And why haven't I been invited? Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Anyway, I want to say that I'm really inspired by the idea of exploring past what society says you should be doing.
Yes.
Are there other levels in you? Is there anything else you want to pursue?
Well, at this stage, I'm not aware. That's why I believe that, you know, with life, everything that we need is within us, and every step of the way you'll get to know and discover what you need to know. So you don't need to know everything. You just need to have an idea of where you want to go. But at this stage, I'm just refining and perfecting what I'm already doing currently.
Okay. So, you know, you help people in this book through exercises and processes and awareness techniques and so forth. And we're going to talk about that in a few moments. But I want to stick with you for a moment, because, you know, as I chat to you, I'm intrigued on a number of levels. One is that, how do you tell your husband? Do you wake up one day and be like, okay, today I'm going to try this interior decorating thing? And then what does he say when you tell him that?
Fortunately for me, my husband is a very patient person. And, you know, primarily though, he's somebody who's very comfortable with himself, and he believes in, you know, freedom with responsibility, so to say. So he has always allowed me to find myself, and the same way that I have to allow him to find himself, so to say, within the relationship, within the world.
Got it. And you, how do you know whether you just feeling a weird sort of thing you want to do versus this is something deep? Because I'm imagining there are some people out there going, I like fashion, but I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be a designer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How do you know, how do you make that distinction between I'm curious about something versus this is my purpose?
Well, obviously you have to look at the practicalities of cost and what implications it will have on your life. I mean, obviously as an adult, you can't just want to pursue everything for the fun of it, because you can. There's still that responsibility with your life, people who look up to you, people who depend on you, and the plans that you have for your own life. So it has to be something that it inspires you, but not necessarily easy to do. But you feel like, you know what, I can do this in my own spare time without compromising the basics that I still need to be responsible for.
Got it.
It will get clearer with time if it's just a fantasy or just a wish or something like that.
Got it. Yeah. And this is part of living heaven on earth, right?
Yes.
part of it is physically sort of making that sort of distinction and deciding that this is what I'm going to do.
In sync with me.
And being in sync. Okay.
Yeah.
And you teach this stuff to your kids as well, right?
Yes.
And you've got a couple of lovely kids.
I have two kids.
Two kids, yes.
Yeah. 8-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl.
Okay.
Amazing kids. Obviously, every parent says that. But what I always try to do for them is the life that I'm living, I'm trying to position them also to kind of make sure that their life will be easier. Because it makes a huge difference if your parents kind of positioned you, prepared the ground for you. Not to say they will kind of dictate how things turn out, but you're just on a better footing. So they know now about holistic health. They know they have to attend to all the 8 aspects of health, which is a model I've created to make it practical for someone to say, how do I experience heaven on earth? How do I get to have that balance in life? So they know there's the physical part of them, the eating part, playing, creativity, but they have to read. They have to do things for other people. They have to. So it's like a whole model that they know they're aware of.
So we're going to explore that just in a moment. We're going to go to a break just shortly. But in this holistic health model, I'm also really intrigued by it. Are we talking to Dr. Bortomello Petla, who is really inspiring, sort of doctor, MBA, designer, interior decorator person who believes in exploring the fullness of who you are and what you have inside of you. Have you ever explored something and realized, you know, maybe I was just dreaming and I was making a mistake and had to sort of retract quickly?
Yeah. I don't remember a specific example. Oh yes, I do. If initially when I started the speaking thing, because I wasn't really trained to speak, to do public speaking and all of that, it was out of pure passion and compassion for what I wanted to speak about. And I was doing events at the time. And eventually I felt like, you know what, maybe this is not for me, the events thing. Then I had to drop it because it was costing me way up to a point where my husband was like, do you want to maybe slow down? Because it's affecting everyone. So I had to stop it for a while.
So what happened specifically? You get to the event and what happened? There was two people. What happened?
Well, from, you know, the first one, to be specific, there was a guest artist, very pricey. You have to do the venue. You have to make sure people buy tickets. And initially, when people don't know you or what you're about or how you will transform their life or at least have an impact in their life, they're not really bothered. So you have...
You had this amazing venue. So, you have an artist lined up.
Everything is perfect and all of that. Then you realize, oh my God, people haven't bought tickets yet. And we're 2 days away. So, and then you have to come up with a plan of sponsoring people with like all tickets to a point that you're working totally at a loss. You know, then I had to realize that, you know what, maybe I still needed a bit of experience, which now I'm at a better place. I've got better experience now. It's way better. And my husband was happy when I stopped then.
When we come back, we'll chat what you learned from that experience. And then we're going to talk about your holistic health model, as well as the book you've written. We're chatting to Dr. Bortomello Petla on Unbranded. We'll be right back after the break.
Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and we're chatting to Dr. Bortomello Petla. She's a medical doctor. She's also an MBA. She has an MBA, designer, interior decorator, and she founded the Heaven on Earth group because she believes you can live heaven on earth based on her experience as a medical doctor and understanding the body, the mind, and also having come from, you know, also sort of a challenging background. She realizes that she's seen both sides. She's seen the wealthy, she's seen the poor, all sides, and she's come to the conclusion that if you live a holistic health life, you can pursue heaven on earth. Before the break, we were talking about all the things that you've experienced in this sort of chapter in your life. You've talked about some of the lessons you've learned. I want to know, what was one of the key things and throughout all the successes and failures and getting things going, things are booming, some things are not booming. What is one of the key things you've learned getting to this point?
Thank you. Well, in summary, I just, you know, learned, I can say I've learned that, you know, life is a process. life is definitely a process, but it's about having the courage to really believe in yourself and what is in you and working on it. And without expecting to be perfect, but just trying to get that equilibrium, if I can say, or balance. Equilibrium is better because it's not a fixed state. It's an ongoing phase that you're going through, but you just want to experience a phase where you're functional, you're creative, you're courageous and ecstatic and still with responsibility.
Got it. We have on WeChat, we have Kodwa. He wants to know, how much did the good doctor inherit from her grandfather?
Nothing in monetary terms.
Really?
Yes, the greatest inheritance I have from my grandfather is his life and his death, because his life is the one that opened up my eyes that I can really be anything that I want to be, that I'm created to be, as long as I'm willing to put down the work and, you know, conspire with universal principles of success, of harmony, of prosperity and peace and health and all of that. Because even for this holistic health model, it's basically from his life, how I perceived his success, the source of his success, and my own skills and experience with life.
Wow. This is where your story gets interesting for me. So yeah. You didn't inherit, you didn't sort of like, you know, leap out in front and be, you know, on with all these silver spoons and forks and so forth to be able to just eat beautifully from life. You really have created all of this stuff on your own, type of thing, and really with a belief of abundance versus scarcity and so forth. So this inspired you to write this book.
Yes.
And the title of the book is
Heaven on Earth Through My Grandfather's Life, an Entrepreneur, a Mentor, and a Legend.
Wow. A legend. You don't say that easily either. I mean, that's it's a strong, strong term. I mean, you mean that, right? Yes. So, you know, Heaven on Earth, take us through the structure of the book.
Well, the structure of the book is basically the background of the whole concept of heaven on earth, because obviously somebody would want to know where I'm coming from.
Yes.
So for me, I wouldn't really want to dwell too much on like gonna experience heaven or hell after death or not. My focus is really on the life today, which is real today, because being in a heavenly space or hellish space is something that you either get to create and experience today or not. So then I kind of explain that, the background of heaven on earth, which for me was mainly from the inspiration of watching my grandfather's life, a man who succeeded out of nothing in an era where it was almost impossible. But then he created something, and I realized he was blessed in every way that you can imagine. And he was still a grounded man, a solid man, somebody that carried a lot of people and communities on his shoulders. So even in his death, he remained great. And that's why today for me, I've got that courage and, you know, that approval from his life, even in his absence, to be everything I'm created to be, to experience it and to share it with the world. So heaven on earth through his eyes is more about, is based on seven things here that I think helped him to succeed. Just quickly, the one is being an individual with a steadfast vision. Secondly, be an individual with an undisputed character. Thirdly, be an individual who respects and honors family. Fourthly, be an individual who embraces a centered soul and mind. Fifthly, be an individual who embraces excellence in service. Sixth, be an individual with the heart and mind to enhance others around you. Seventh, be an individual who embraces health and vitality. So that's my perspective, and my model is mainly from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So now this book sort of has, but firstly, before I get to really unpacking this health model, which I'm really excited to get to, have you received any religious backlash though? Anyone who's like, and are you religious?
Well, okay. You know, in terms of that backlash, I haven't really had that experience or opened up that platform, because my position is not to be against anybody's belief. This is more for me to say, look, you can experience this, you can do this, this works, you are alive today, so you being healthy being in a prosperous place, being in a peaceful state, that is a state that anybody would, we're all trying to get to that state.
Got it.
So why not experience it today? So if you believe in whatever that you believe in, you are correct.
Got it.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, you know, getting to this point where we're going to talk now about these sort of 8 sort of holistic health models, I want us to go and I want us to be wide open. I want us to be completely, completely bluntly honest, because I feel that there's so many people who want to experience a better life, but they, you know, they don't realize that it is a holistic process. You can't just sort of like, I remember growing up as a kid, my father would pray all day, but then eat fried chicken all day. Mm. You can't be doing both. Like, you got to figure out a way to balance this thing out.
Ease.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go through and you do workshops and so forth. We'll talk a bit about that a little bit later to help take people through these sort of 8 sort of steps. But the first one is sexual intimacy and health. I know some of our team, like Duncan, will appreciate this particular step. You feel like it's very important to have sex.
Sex is actually a natural process. This, because there is physiological benefits to sex. Well, the whole, issues, or I don't know if I can call them challenges, up around sex is, you know, we can argue having sex with the wrong person at the wrong time, that can cause stress and frustrations in relationships. But if you kind of, if you are having sex with the right person, so to say, at the right time, it does have direct health benefits.
Okay, and so some of these health benefits are, because you do a whole workshop on the sexual intimacy and health. Relating sexual benefits.
Yeah, so around that one is mainly to try to, you know, encourage more intimate type of sexual intercourse, so to say, because you can just have sex and you can have sexual intimacy. So to kind of have that interaction just beyond the sex, to have the relationship, to create the environment of having a healthy experience with your partner, so to say, and also highlighting what are the constraints that kind of disturb this to happen.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a whole show here at Cliff Central called Sex Talk, and they explored recently on their show, I think it was last week, about tantric health, tantric sex and health. And it was extreme. I listened to that show and I was really blown away by the fact that they explored how it sort of, you know, if you're able to be intimate with yourself first, how valuable, do you champion that as well, being intimate with yourself?
Definitely. Part of, you know, this holistic health is self-identity. So with self-identity, it's about finding you, being comfortable with yourself, knowing who you are as a man or as a woman. And basically from that, then you know what roles you have. Then you can make commitment to those roles. So part of being intimate with yourself, knowing yourself, makes you a better partner, a better parent, a better whatever role that you have in life.
And I know a lot of religions, they are against masturbating. Do you champion masturbating as a part of getting to know yourself?
Okay, that's interesting. But what we know is that, you know, compared to having sex the natural way, masturbating doesn't give those effects that you'll get the natural way. So rather just have sex with a living human being that you have agreed to engage with.
Right. We'll explore that a bit further in another show. And maybe I'll refer that to the Sex Talk guys.
But I think it's better.
Yeah. In terms of vitality, health, your second step. So the first one is sexual health and intimacy. We're going to have to go through all 8 before we end the show, okay? So the second one is vitality health.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
So vitality health is grounded mainly in, you know, the knowledge that we have that today, most of the disease that we treat, the majority, over 85%, they are lifestyle disease, means they are caused by the type of lives that we're living today. And we know we are in a stressful phase. Most people are stressed and they don't know how to manage their stress. So here we try to bring the awareness of what are those lifestyle diseases and mainly how do you manage stress, because we cannot avoid stress. The idea is to minimize it so it doesn't cause disease, because stress alone causes cellular changes in our bodies, and that's what makes us sick. Okay. So most of us are sick and
because of traffic. We sit in traffic going crazy and our cells are just
Yeah, so you need to know what do you need to do to support your body, so to say.
So what should I do quickly? If I'm in a high pressure job and I'm in traffic all day and I'm chaotically, you know, dealing with, you know, a lot of stimuli and stress from different environments, what can I do?
Yeah, under this Vitality Health, the strategies here, I share 10 tools. I'll try to think of them on top of my head.
Yeah, just give me 2 out of 10.
Well, one is sleeping enough, which most of us don't do because then you're occupied with waking late or waking up too early, gadgets and all of that. So we need to be sleeping at least 8 hours and making sure the room is dark enough, because in that space, there's a hormone called melatonin that is released, and that will assist the body to heal itself, to renew cells and things like that. Nutrition is another one, which is a weakness for most of us. But just eating the right food, the right amounts makes all the difference, because most of the diseases are mainly from what we're ingesting.
Got it. Yeah. All right. Number 3, contribution health. What does that mean?
Contribution health is mainly about, you know, finding your purpose and excelling in what you're doing. Whether you found your purpose yet or not, but just be excellent where you are. Okay. Because that's how you kind of discover your purpose, in excellence. And looking and living beyond just yourself.
Got it.
Kind of creating your tomorrow as much as you're living today, but
adding value
tomorrow
to society, contributing
beyond just yourself.
Okay. Yeah. And so it's not about giving, like you go, like, do you take up offerings at your workshops? Like people contribute to you, like a love offering, like, you know, in church they give.
No.
You don't have.
We're not at that stage yet.
Okay. Number 4, self-identity health.
So self-identity health is about knowing who you are. Obviously, you have to decide who dictates who you are, but have that base that gives you perspective on life, and because that will directly impact on how you see life, how you engage with life, and your roles, depending how you see yourself and what you believe you're supposed to be doing.
Okay. Yeah. So self-identity is critical. I always say that identity wouldn't be necessary if it wasn't for other people. Like if you live on the moon by yourself, there's no need for identity.
Yeah.
So identity in relation to others, you need to be able to identify yourself to create a healthy. Okay, well, I'm getting it now.
Yeah.
Number 5, reproductive health.
So for reproductive health, mainly we're just going to be talking more really medical stuff about, you know, how do you maintain that health, whether you're pregnant or not. And what things constrain, you know, for us to be fertile, because we do have the challenge of fertility at times.
Wait, do men come to this session?
Yes, they should. Because we also discuss, because as a man, you also have a reproductive side.
Okay.
Yeah. And usually what we miss is that, you know, women are always stressing that they have a fertility problem, and men are ignored, and they assume it's always the woman with the fertility problem.
Okay.
So it's, I mean, that baby is formed by a man and a woman, a sperm and an egg.
Okay.
So both parties are key to this.
Okay. All right. So this is physically about reproducing and understanding the best way to position yourself for this.
Yeah. And just having, you know, healthy womb, so to say, because women are struggling with period pains or just low abdominal pains, and they don't know what is the cause. It's not always obvious. We always have to investigate sometimes. There's a lot of things that can cause just low abdominal pain,
okay,
for example.
Cool. So there's a lot of dialogue in this, and men probably are learning and women are.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. All right. The next one is financial health. This is, seems obvious, but you're saying finances impact our health?
Yes, they do. And I believe that, the quest for success that all of us are on, you want to be successful, you want to look successful, you want to drive what others are driving, and all of that it's really putting us under a lot of pressure, and it takes away the joy of really finding ourselves and creating our own circumstances and enjoying and embracing our own journeys. So here we're just going to be looking at how do you kind of get the balance around that, because pursuing financial success is important, is part of life, but then being conscious of, you know, not burning other bridges while you're trying to do that.
So you're doing a whole workshop on each one of these.
Yes. So I mean, if we had to do all of this at once, it would probably take us 3 days or so. So at this stage, we're doing what we call seminars, then we do one at a time.
Okay.
But with bigger groups, we do workshops that can take, we do it over 3 days.
Okay.
For the whole thing.
And I'm sure in the future you're going to be packaging all of this so that people, if they miss one, they can get it, the content.
Yes.
Workshop stuff. Okay, awesome. And we have 2 more, parenting health.
Yes. So this one is really the key, and the basis for this is the impact of present parents, which is something in the reality of most of us, that you grow up with one parent there, the other one is not there, or you don't know where the other one is, and or you have both parents, but they're not really there. They are there physically, but, you know, emotionally, spiritually, they're not there with you. So for me, I was fortunate that my grandfather created that environment for me, for my father to be home every single day. Because, you know, in the apartheid times, most fathers had to be away to go and work. But then at the same time, they've neglected families and they're starting other families on the other side. So we have a lot of brokenness everywhere, and they can't help it because they've got physical needs. So today the situation is different, but we are so busy. Everybody's busy trying to be successful. But then how do you balance all of that to still be there for your kids? Because it definitely plays, it's a key outcome factor, so to say.
So people like me who don't have kids, or, you know, who don't plan on having kids,
yeah,
I can skip this one.
Not really. I mean, you can still attend it, and you'll be able to share this with somebody else, or at least understand why an adult today.
You want
today,
me to come to the parenting one?
Yes, you should. You never know when you can have a child.
Okay.
But then even if you don't have a child, you still have people in your life that you can guide, or at least understand what they're going through, and be that support.
Okay, cool. The last one we have, home and household health.
So yes.
Everybody can come to, everyone has...
No, actually for this whole model, everybody has to, you don't have to come, but I mean, it would be great if you can attend all of it, because that's the whole thing of experiencing heaven on earth.
Holistic.
You should approach life holistically.
Got
because
it.
Most of the time you master one thing and you're struggling in the other one. So each and everyone is important in terms of just supporting you in this world. To be in the best place possible, where you've got that inspiration, the peace, the productivity, the creativity. So with home and household, it's about creating, you know, making your home the haven of renewal, and creating visions and finding practical ways of connecting to what you're supposed to be doing. Contrary to getting home and you feel more stressed than before you went home.
Got
so
it.
It's about doing practical things to ensure that can happen.
The home needs to be conducive for growth.
Yes.
Can't be
for
chaos.
Everyone. Yes.
And just sort of like, you know, cleaning the house and all, some of those things. Do you talk about that, or you go into more of the sort of the deeper health stuff?
No, all of that is important. I mean, even for the helpers that are in your house, the plans for the routines for the family, the eating, the sleeping routines, family time, you know, even the colors in the house, because all of that counts in terms of how do you also create the home environment to be able to sleep well at night.
Got it.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're talking to Dr. Boit Tumelo Petla. We have a few more minutes with you. As a doctor, MBA, designer, lifestyle sort of specialist, you know, this Heaven on Earth group for me is really important. I think we do need to look at life. You convinced me to look at life more holistically, and I really appreciate it. If people want more information about you, they can go to www.heavenonearthgroup.co.za. They can also find out more about your book there as well, right?
Yes.
And you've come up with a model called Boit Tumeloin.
Yes.
Tell us about Boit Tumeloin.
Well, Boit Tumeloin is something that is interesting, because I was actually talking to Timothy about it.
Okay.
And he was asking me, what does your name Boit Tumelo mean? And I said it means joy.
Joy.
Joy. Ah. So Boit Tumelo means joy. And, you know, as I was pondering on how do I present my own life experience, what I've learned from my grandfather, to share with the world, you know, what could I call that? And he actually, Timothy suggested that Boit Tumelo will be a great thing, because it's in line with what you're talking about, what you're doing. Because basically you're saying you can experience joy on earth while you're still alive today, compared to just being happy, because happy is, it feels more like something that is just superficial, but joy is deeper. It's about being in that space where you don't have to show off to people or account to people. You must be okay with yourself, by yourself.
It's the process of experiencing joy.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, Boit Tumelo is a powerful, powerful concept that I think that as I read the book, you know, I didn't really want to, you know, impose my perspective on this conversation. I really wanted people to hear from the depth of your heart and also be encouraged to want to read this book on their own, because today many people make excuses. People feel like other people are entitled, they're entitled, etc. Uh-huh. I think you release people from all of that,
yeah,
and go that there is extraordinary opportunity to live abundantly, yeah, with full of joy if you embrace these things,
yeah,
that you've learned from your grandfather, but you've also learned from yourself,
yes,
and in your own journey. So we're really, really thrilled to be able to have you here. People can follow you on Twitter at Dr. Petla, P-H-E-T-L-A. On Facebook, they can find you at Heaven on Earth Group. And if they want to email you, they can email you, Boitumelo at Heaven on Earth Group. Your next workshop is?
It's on the 4th of June, Morningstar Hotel in Pretoria.
Awesome. And Pretoria is just a HAL train ride away.
Away, true.
Thank you so much. Keep creating. We're looking forward to having you on the show again. And we really are grateful that you give us such a wonderful gift in this process of Boitumelo so that we can find joy. And thank you for writing the book and living your grandfather's legacy.
Thank you for having me. I'm grateful.
Awesome. Now we shift to our cyber health feature with our resident, Rianette Lebowitz. Rianette, how are you?
Oh, well, thank you, Timothy. How's it going on your side today?
It's absolutely incredible. We are Boitumeloing. We are living heaven on earth. And we know that you are designed, your program, Cyber Health, is designed to help people live and thrive and live their heaven on earth. So what do you have for us today?
That's true. Today we're going to talk about digital footprint and how to find out what your footprint looks like. So it will give us a better understanding if we are really living heaven on earth from a digital point of view. And thank you from me, Rianette, from SafetyNet Cyber Safety, for joining the conversation. And today I would like to share some tips on how to find out what Google knows about you, what you search for, which videos you watch, and how it decides which adverts to send your way. So on my broad band, there was an article published on the 5th of May 2016, and they actually shared the steps you can take to see what you have shared with the big G. So if you use Google for your day-to-day browsing and are signed in with a Google account, you can actually see what this search giant knows about you and your, wow, browsing habits. So besides its search engine, Google also provides, as you know, access to Gmail, the Drive, YouTube, and Google Maps. And all of these, you know, leave a trace. Every time you click on something, you are busy forming a digital footprint. And at SafetyNet, we always remind users that this is the part where we have to be careful, because it's part of that fingerprint and footprint that you leave in cyberspace. So this information is used to improve Google's service, and it allows its advertisers to target users more effectively. And this might be something you love or hate, but later I will share some tips with you if you want to change those settings yourself. So to find out what Google knows about you and what you've been up to, you can actually visit their web and app activity page. And then on the other hand, you see what Google tells advertisers about you, you can visit Google's ad settings page. So make sure that you are signed in with a Google account when you do this. And yeah, let's look at a couple of the steps you can take, or the aspects. There are four that I'm going to discuss today. The first one is, let's talk about your web and app activity. Now, to some users, this might be quite scary when you look at it to see how much time you've spent online, but this actually lets users see and delete their historic browsing data. So by selecting all time from the drop-down menu, you can see your total search counts, your top five search clicks, the search count broken down into the days of the week, and a daily breakdown of searches conducted. Wow. And a breakdown of a user's location history is also available. And that's obviously if you have your location history settings enabled. And I was quite surprised when I looked at my own information to see that, you know, we forget that all the devices we use, whether it's an iPad or whether it's a smartphone or your laptop, whatever it is, they all, at the end of the day, when you do this search, all those histories and all those searches show on the one in one place. So I searched for the spelling of an Afrikaans word earlier this week, and I was like, wow, it's also there. And so nothing is too small or too big to be added to this list. You can even review your voice and audio activity. And the more active you are, you actually help Google recognize your voice and improve speech and audio recognition. So if you like to, instead of typing, search via voice, then this is quite an interesting one for you to look at. Then there is the YouTube watch and search history. And I don't know if it's happened to you before, but sometimes you watch a video and you really want to go back, but you can't remember who it was or what date it was. So with this specific one, you can actually, it allows you to go and see the videos you have watched and which videos you have searched for, grouped by each day's activity. You can also go to a specific date if you can remember that day when you were searching. So the next section is that we should look at gives us clarity on the types of adverts we see and the information we are being fed. And it's always quite remarkable to see how accurate it is. If you plan a trip or you're going to get married, then all of a sudden all the ads are around that theme. So the ad settings page lets you see which interests Google has identified as relevant to you based on your user activity on Google sites and videos watched. So the your interest section shows more information, and you can actually go and view your interests, add new interests, and remove unwanted interests. You might accidentally have clicked on a browser and don't really want to see more material of that. So your Google profile lets you do all these things. And additionally, it allows users to improve their ad experience by turning on or off ads served based on your interest. You can even go and turn it off completely. But when you do this, the ads that you do receive will be less relevant, and you can no longer block specific advertisers. All your interests will be deleted, and ads may be based on your general location. So just keep that in mind, and it reminds me that you are actually able to block specific advertisers. So something to look at if they annoy you. And then if you don't like all the advertisements, you can really go and control all your settings in terms of the ad space. So at SafetyNet, again, we remind you, leave a positive digital footprint. Watch and think and rethink before you tweet, before you like, before you share. And I will share this article and the link to it on our Facebook page, which is at SafetyNet. It's S-A-V-E-T net, because we save lives. And yeah, we wish you a fantastic week ahead, and thank you for listening.
Thanks so much, Rianette, as always, with our Cyber Health Bite. We really appreciate you helping us understand our digital footprint. Thanks again to Dr. Bortimello Pedler for really ultimately living your grandfather's life in real time, J.L. Mohale.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week with Unbranded. Thank you for listening.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.